wanted to speak on lessons from Noah. My printer wouldn't print the first two pages, so I'm using my cell phone here for notes. Why is Noah's story relevant today? After all, isn't he sort of a just an old man you see in movies and cartoons and children's books? I mean, as a child growing up, he's a real popular character. All the kids love Noah. The story of the Ark, it's very exciting. And you get to be an adult, and a large percentage of the population say that, you know, he didn't build an Ark, he never existed, it's just not true. So, isn't he sort of ancient history? Or is he more than that? Is he still relevant, not only to us today as individuals, but as a lesson and a warning for all mankind, for the whole earth in 2014? Is Noah and the Ark, is it symbolic of more to come? If you'll turn with me to Matthew 24:37, I'd like to reference, open with this scripture. Matthew 24:37 reads, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." There's no historical documents or artifacts. They haven't found the ark, even though many claim they have. There's a lot of information out there that's probably false. But it pretty much leaves us to reference the Bible, and it leaves a lot to the imagination. We don't have a full, clear picture of the man or the culture at the time. So I'm curious about who he was and what the culture of the day was. I actually wrote this sermonette like last, probably January, before I ever found out that there was a movie with Russell Crowe coming out. And as soon as I found out, I thought, oh, I'll wait and I'll give it as soon as the movie comes out. Because it'll be a great movie, you know. And boy, was I wrong, you know. It's not factually accurate. It's a total fabrication. But I really enjoyed the trailer. Because it gives you an idea of, like, imagery. It activates my imagination. The fountains of the deep, the springs that shot up from the ground, the rain that came down, maybe the barbaric tribes that were running around. So I wanted to show the clip. Before I play it, I would just ask, why did Noah obey? Think about these things. Why did he obey? Why didn't he quit? What if he had? Where would we all be? Try to keep this to 15 minutes, too, Dr. Ross.
Man corrupted his world and filled it with violence. So we must be destroyed.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to hold the innocent.
Mama! Was them!
What do you want?
Did you really think you could protect yourself from me in that?
It's not protection from you.
I have men at my back. And you stand alone and defy me?
I'm not alone. When they come, they will be desperate and there will be many.
Snakes are coming too?
All the crawls, all the slithers.
Remember, Noah, he chose you for a reason.
Take the ark!
Choice was in your hands, Noah.
So it only took a couple of minutes of time. Many of you have probably already seen it, but growing up, I always had an overactive imagination, and I'm very curious about what the world looked like pre-Noachian flood. I know when I was in school, I had to study, horticulture and agriculture, which includes a lot of geology. So we studied all the soils and rock formations and mountains and the ocean. And basically, we don't know 10% of the truth, you know. But I just think the imagery in the trailer shows the fountains springing up. That's pretty spectacular. I was actually, in 2005, I went down for Hurricane Rita, which was a Category 5 hurricane. And right after that, we had to run for the hills, ran back north because Katrina rolled in right after that. So I wanted to stay and weather it out, and the crew wanted to leave. But when I came back, I mean, it wasn't the same city. The boats, massive boats that were washed, you know, miles inland. You know, it wasn't a global flood, but it was a miniature. New Orleans was a catastrophe. It was a miniature flood, so to speak. So it activates my imagination. I'm very curious. So moving on, who is Noah? Genesis tells us that he was a son of Lamech. He was nine generations down from Adam, so he was still kind of the new kid on the block, so to speak, even if he was an old guy. He was a father of, we all know, of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Lived to be 950 years old. I think he was 600 years old at the time of the flood. The ark that he built was obviously an engineering feat. There's a lot of information out there. You can look up, you can compare the size of the ark to the size of the Titanic versus the size of naval carrier ships. There's never been a boat built as large, 450 feet long in wood that's held up. So it's technically a miracle because it hasn't been done before or since. And that's another reason people say it wouldn't have held up in the seas. But basic information, it's a football and a half, like a football field plus half of one long, 75 feet tall, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, one window. So this isn't a direct replica, but this is a pretty cool picture. This guy's from the Netherlands. He basically built a replica of Noah's Ark on a barge. I don't know that it has any doctrinal relevance today, but I thought it was really interesting. And, you know, if I had the time and the money, it might be a fun project to do. But I don't think it took him 120 years. So, Noah was a man of action. He lived God's way. He displayed fruits of faith through action and reliability. Hebrews 11:7 tells us that by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of their righteousness, which is according to faith. So one reason God chose Noah may be because he was a man of action, other than the fact that there probably weren't a lot of other options at the time, but he could have chose to bring the flood before or after Noah. He didn't have to choose Noah. God required much of Noah, but he gave him much in return. In 120 years, approximately, or less, he was building and preaching, and God gave him his family to take on the ark. Noah had a choice. Faith alone would not build the ark. Noah didn't have the resources to build a team of modern engineers or construction managers. Nothing of this scale had ever been attempted. So him and his workers were guaranteed to go through a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Busted knuckles, probably busted rib cages, some injuries, maybe some deaths. The logistics of moving massive trees with nothing but primitive hand tools, it's difficult enough now with modern equipment. So they had basic hand tools, ropes, and animals to get it milled, get the trees cut, milled, and then put into position. So many people these days speak of faith, but how many religions speak of works? Because we're in the South here, and we know that most Protestants believe that you're saved through faith. You just profess that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you're saved. Just admit that He's your Savior. And the Jewish faith believes, more or less, that if your works are good enough, If you keep the law to a high enough standard, then you'll achieve salvation that way. But the reality is neither approach is sufficient. Faith and action, faith and works blend together in perfect harmony. And Noah displayed faith through his action, through his work ethic, through his obedience. He displayed the fruits through the manifestation of faith. I would also say that Noah did not conform. He did not conform to society. He lived at a time when corruption and evil filled the earth. And he still chose to walk with God, much like Enoch. He was also married to children. I'm sure he learned a lot about relationships with the process. You know, there was nothing in that day and time that was superficial. It was before Facebook and Netflix, cars. It was a gritty day-to-day survival, agriculturally based, livestock. He had a relationship with the land, with God, and the people. It would have been an exciting time to live in. Can you imagine being Noah, being chosen to live? He says, I'm going to choose you. Everybody else dies. He was a righteous man. The Lord singled out Noah among all his contemporaries and chose him to accomplish a great work. So again, even though Noah had no degree in engineering or construction, he wasn't experienced in building ships, yet he had the character to lead the way and get the job done. He was a strong leader, despite the fact that he did not have any followers, and in all that preaching, he didn't have any converts. I haven't read about one baptism. Correct me if I'm wrong, but by today's standards, he wouldn't be a successful preacher, but by God's standards, he was, because he did what God told him to do. Noah was a man of faith. Noah believed God. He built a boat on land for a flood that was prophesied to wipe out the earth, you know, over 100 years later. It's totally illogical. But that's why you call it faith. Without complete evidence, he moved forward on faith. He took on the challenge of the engineering, the finances, the money, the labor, the logistics, the persecution, the ridicule that he would endure, not only him, but all of his family. And he trusted that God would provide for his family through the storms. So then Noah takes the ultimate step. We all probably, at some level or another, we like our homes. We like Atlanta, we like Georgia, we like our houses. It's our comfort zone. I'm sure Noah had a life as well. But when the time was right, when the ark was ready, Noah entered and the Lord shut him in, cutting him off from all mankind. So Noah leaves the world he knows to embrace a new world, confined for approximately a year to the inside of an ark. He goes from pre-flood to becoming a boat rancher, not a farmer, but literally has a ranch on a boat, and then post-flood. So he starts all over. He loses everything practically, but his family and his relationship with God. 600 years of life change in a moment. It's interesting to note how it's worded that the Lord shut him in. I'm sure y'all are familiar with that show. There's a TV show called Doomsday Preppers. I've seen it a couple times. It's pretty funny. But it's people here in the States mostly that are constantly preparing for the apocalypse, the end of the world. They've got bunkers and compounds, and they store up water and food. And I think after visiting some of the hurricane zones that I visited, I think it's wise to store up some water and some food and maybe a generator for a natural disaster. But we all know that when things get really bad, only God can shut you in. Only God can deliver you. And it's interesting that that's the verse there. So it says in the end there that Noah was thankful, Genesis 8:20. Post-flood, Noah built an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet Savior and accepted the offering. Noah would have been starting over from an agriculture standpoint. He would have been the first farmer or the first rancher in the post-flood era. It's important to note that God said he wouldn't curse the ground anymore for man's sake. So I would say all of us today just need to remember Noah's example. Is he still relevant today? Because Matthew 24 seems to think that he is. He took action. He did not conform to society, much as we shouldn't. He lived righteously. He was a man of faith. And he was thankful to God. So in conclusion, I would ask myself, would God pick me for such an undertaking or something similar in the future? Would he pick you? Would he pick us as a collective group to be part of his team? We need to strive to have the heart and character necessary that God may wish to choose us. We need to live our lives in such a way that we display the character, the fortitude, and the tenacity to hang on, to hold tight to the precious truths that we've been given and taught in a world that, like Noah's world, is full of corruption and violence. And we may not be building a boat, but we're building something more important than this. We're building a temple. We're building a house for God to reside in. Our bodies are the temple for God's Holy Spirit. So we need to strive to make ourselves clean vessels that he wishes to reside in during the coming storms, because they are coming. So like Noah, let's move forward and let's take action.